First, the discovery of fire. Then, learn to mix brown sugar and ketchup to make some sauce. A little apple cider vinegar in it, maybe. Now, we have trucks going around serving savory barbecue. Are we living in a great time or what? It's barbecue season in Las Vegas, and it is time to figure out the best places to get your brisket, ribs, and pork. And not only that, if you're a failed barbecue chef like some of us, you can find out how to get the most out of your grill. We are going to talk barbecue with a panel of experts, and we'll start with Mike Miner. Pick up the new issue of Desert Companion, take a good look at it, and you will see him right there on the cover. Mike Miner is a trained chef. He chucked it all to start the Truck U Barbecue Truck. I have to say that very carefully, but there we are. And he's also just been named one of the 22 hottest food trucks in America. So, Mike Miner, the world knows what you're doing. Welcome to KNPR.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we associate barbecue with a few key cities. You rattle off the name, you know, Texas, Memphis, Kansas City, Carolinas. You bring a south of the border flavor to your craft. Tell us how you incorporate the flavors of Mexico.
I do. You know, for me, I think first the barbecue that I'm doing, I've kind of created. Nobody else is doing this unique style of barbecue. And basically, you know, my background is modern Mexican food, you know, from all over Mexico, from Oaxaca to Yucatan to, you know, the coastal parts of Mexico. And what I've done is really fell in love with barbecue over the last 10 years. And I've taken those proteins that we're all used to knowing, you know, a Texas brisket, pulled pork, you know, barbecued short ribs. And I'm taking my experience with Mexican food and chilies, and I'm incorporating that into barbecue. And it's been incredible, you know. So I'm doing things like a vinegar-based barbecue, but then I'm putting this chili from Oaxaca that is very, very hard to get, and creating this flavor that is unique and like nobody else's barbecue.
So what's a sign that you've hit the grand slam? I mean, what's a sign of really good barbecue? When you're watching your customers eating, What's going on that tells you, got it?
Well,
got it.
Well, the customers are always like high five, and that's the first sign that I'm looking for. But for me, it's all about when I open that package of the final product of that brisket, and I'm cutting into it, and I'm getting the exact moisture and the smoke ring that I'm looking for. I don't need them to tell me it's going to be great. I know I'm going to blow them away.
So you got something you're looking for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for that, and it's been incredible. When you do it right, it's the most amazing feeling in the world. When you pull one out of the smoker and it's not done, it's the worst feeling in the world, because now you're left with this piece of meat and you're like, oh crap, what do I do now? But it's exciting, it's fun, and barbecue is very simple but very hard to do.
Also with us is Tim Hansen. He's a chef at Roland Smoke Barbecue. Tim, welcome. It's great to have you with us too. We'd mentioned a little bit about how different regions of the country, different styles of barbecue, some wet, some dry, so on and so forth. Tell us a little bit about those regions. For example, what do they do in the Carolinas with barbecue that they don't do in Kansas City?
Carolina mostly use a base of all vinegar, spices, peppers. So you'll put that on your pulled pork. They usually take a grilled toasted bun, add that smoky pulled pork meat, and then they'll slather it with the vinegar-based. A Memphis-style barbecue will be a lot sweeter, tangier.
Where does that come from? Why is that?
Different taste buds, I believe. I believe it's in the taste bud. You know, the palate accepts.
When you say sweet, what are the ingredients?
Sweeter usually be either some Memphis would be more brown sugar, maybe molasses, something of that sort. The North Carolinas will use apple, like apple juice or something for a sweeter taste, you know, versus sugar. They'll use apple juices because they had orchards and things like that, peaches. They inject a lot of their meats with peaches in Georgia, Alabama, Atlanta.
Now, we got a couple staffers from Texas, too. Okay. And I mean, you know what they're going to be doing as soon as we're done with this. What about Texas?
Texas barbecue. Texas is known for brisket. Mm-hmm. That's like their biggest thing, brisket. And they use more of a not sweet sauce. They don't like sweet down in Texas. I don't know why, but they don't like the sweet. They like a savory, spicy type a barbecue sauce there. As you migrate to like Arkansas, because we're right next door to Texas, and that's where Roland Smoke originated from, was Arkansas, and that's John and Lee Holland. And our barbecue sauce is come from a mixture of the Carolinas to the Memphis to the Texas. because we have a sweet, savory, sassy sauce. You know, our sauce is a lot of black pepper in it.
So, do you get conflicted if it's Arkansas-based? Because, I mean, you got Texas to the south of you, but Little Rock's, what, 130 miles from Memphis?
Yes, sir.
So you must have quite a blend.
A plethora of all types of barbecue and southern cuisines that come through that Arkansas. The Arkansas is a combination of all of them put together.
Yeah. So for Roland Smoke, the barbecue that you serve, what kinds of regional styles do you kind of lean on, you emphasize? Or is it just something where you give them the sauce and say, here you go, you know, take your choice?
Okay. No, we got a couple different sauces. We have Carolina, the Sweet Country Girl. The Sweet Country Girl is a mustard-based. That's more like South Carolina. We use a mustard-based. So we also have that. We make all our sauces in-house. We also take our regular sauce, and that's made that we use that as our liquid in our baked beans that we take from pinto beans to turn into our kicking beans with our smoked brisket, pulled pork, and hot links in there. And we also make our own hot links. Mm-hmm. So I think the sauces that we also have a sweet Carolina baby girl sauce. That's a real sweet sauce. And then we have our regular house sauce. And
That's a heck of a list.
Yes, it's a lot.
I mean,
most
barbecue places specialize in like one or two different things.
You got my head spinning already, man.
Yeah,
it sounds incredible.
It really does, doesn't it? Now, also with us on the panel is food critic Al Mancini. Al, welcome back. Las Vegas isn't on the list of cities known for originating barbecue, but. Do you still take do foodies take Las Vegas seriously as a barbecue town?
I think no is the basic answer. You know, I was trying to come up with my five favorite barbecue places here in town just within the past week, and could really only come up with three or four that I like. And I'm thrilled that you have two of them here today because these guys do it right. But no, we're not a serious barbecue town, and I think the thing about Las Vegas is, though, and it's just much like pizza, is that because we have people coming from all over the country, and because barbecue, like pizza, is something that you like what you grew up with, that, you know, there's no real consensus about what people want here. So, you know, you have guys like Roland Smoke doing one particular style. You've got guys like Mike here inventing a brand new style. But there's not without a consensus as to what people think barbecue should be in this town, I don't think we've built a barbecue community.
You use the phrase doing it right. You know, the Mike and Tim are doing it right. What does doing it right mean? What does it involve?
Well, I mean, barbecue is a long process. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Some people, you know, and this is something that, you know, I grew up in the Northeast, and there anything that was grilled was barbecue, you know. Yeah. But I think most purists will tell you that you have to do it low and slow, as they say.
Low,
you know?
And slow. So what does it look like? What are the sensations like when you are digging into a plate of ribs or brisket or something? What do you get into it?
Well, you're definitely looking for that smoke ring that these guys were talking about, and you know, that's key. I have to say, I'm one of these people that does not like any sauce, or maybe very, very little sauce, when it's delivered to my table, and I want the sauce on the table as a condiment. And that was one of my complaints when I reviewed Roland Smoke, is that you guys put a lot of sauce on everything. And I know a lot of people like it that way, and there's certainly people that would tell me that I'm wrong. But for me, you know, if you go through all of this effort of smoking the meat and getting this really smoke-infused flavor to the meat, don't drown it out with the sauce. You know, let me decide if I want to add the sauce, just like I'm going to decide if I want to add ketchup to something, you know.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. That's definitely key to me. So I really want to be able to see the meat, see the smoke ring, you know, actually see whatever kind of rub they may have put on it. Don't have it all drenched under this big gooey sauce. No matter how good the sauce is, I'll decide how much of it I want.
Okay, so when you're going out, Al, what are some of the signs of bad barbecue?
Well,
you know, the cook needs to take more lessons.
You know what? I won't even talk about it. I'll tell you a sign that you may be approaching a bad barbecue place is if you can't smell any smoke whatsoever when you're in the parking lot. And, you know, that's definitely a problem. And I'm not saying that there aren't a few places that do decent barbecue where you can't smell the smoke, because, you know, you have ventilation problems and laws, I guess, about stuff like that. But, you know, if I pull up to a barbecue place and I can actually smell the smoke when I'm in the parking lot, then I know that I'm probably on the right track and these guys are doing it themselves. And, you know, that's a huge problem in this town, is a lot of people just don't do things themselves, and they say they have barbecue, but they're buying it from one of the giant wholesale food suppliers. They're not smoking it on the premises, and you know that's just it's not going to be good. You know, I mean this. I mean these guys could tell you for something like a brisket, we're talking like 16 hours, right, of smoking.
I go 14 hours on a brisket, and that's a long time to be managing and cooking nonstop because you've got to tend the fire all through the 14 hours. You can't just walk away from it. And it's a tedious task. I've been up all night barbecuing because I have an event tomorrow, and it's definitely a labor of love.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have the temperature really fluctuate more than a few degrees over this entire 14-hour process. And, you know, you're not just turning on a burner. And, you know, you're throwing the wood in, and, you know, you're changing the air filtration to keep the temperature exactly where you want it to be.
Okay, for this kind of labor of love, you'd mentioned Truckee Barbecue and Rollin' Smoke Barbecue is two of your the best in Las Vegas. You said, I think, four. So what are the other couple that come to mind?
Well, John Mull's Meats, which is a butcher shop up in the north end of town. He has a place called the Roadkill Grill. It was actually invented just to be put on television. John had been doing barbecue as catering for a long time, and then Guy Fieri came to town and wanted to put him on his show. And John said, well, I don't have a restaurant. And they said, well, build one because we want to put you on TV. So, you know, his place is kind of looks like a farm. There's like horses in the place next door and everything. And he just threw up some tables, and now people line up for, you know, you can wait a half hour or more to get in and get some of his barbecue. So I would definitely recommend people give that a shot. And then, of course, we've got a couple locations of Memphis Championship Barbecue here in town. And, you know, you just have to give them respect because Mike Mills, the owner of that chain and a lot of restaurants across the country, is probably one of the most respected barbecue chefs in America. He's won all kinds of grand championships. So you have to, you know, you have to give props to Mike. He also wrote a book, you know, Peace, Love, and Barbecue. So he knows what he's talking about. So, you know, I think you're not going to be disappointed if you go to any of those places. And you may find, you know, you'll find some smaller places that are doing decent jobs. I mean, even a place like Brooklyn Bowl. I mean, I wouldn't say go there for the barbecue, but they're smoking their own stuff, and they're doing a halfway decent job with what they're doing. I mean, I love that place to begin with, and their barbecue is definitely solid, but, you know, it's not like what these two gentlemen are doing right here next to me.
Now, Tim Hansen, the notion of wet barbecue, you know, came under fire there just briefly. You know, the whole notion of dry seasoning versus wet, lots of sauce.
Right.
What do you look for? Because the sensation's a little different when you're biting into something where you got a lot of sauce on it. But what do you look for in really great barbecue?
A really great barbecue to me is a tender piece of meat. When you bite it, you got a little tug, but you got a nice piece of meat and it's not overcooked. I'm looking for, like Al said about this, you want to see the seasoning that we put on there. Because Rollin' Smoke does use a dry rub. We rub all our meats. The sauce, like Al said too, it can overpower the meat. Now, if you got some really good sauce, like you said, it should be on the table, and we do have it on the table. I think at that time, the chefs in the back was probably trying to overdo it for Al, you know, make it really nice, you know. So they probably overdid it, but we have put some rules in effect where we only use little drop now, just a drizzle, because we do want you to taste that true flavor of the rub and the naturalness of the meat and also be able to see the smoke ring.
We are talking with chefs Tim Hansen of Rollin' Smoke Barbecue and Mike Miner of Truckee Barbecue, Al Mancini, food writer for Seven Magazine as well. And we are talking about the state of barbecue in Las Vegas. What about you? What do you look for in a barbecue restaurant? Is that smell of smoke that Al Mancini was talking about, is that the sign or is the absence of it a warning to stay away? Have you got a favorite spot in Las Vegas? And maybe most important of all, are you a sauce or a dry rub kind of barbecue fan? Join our conversation. You can reach us now at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Visit knprnews.org if you want to write to us there. And we're on Twitter at @knprnews. Mike Miner, your restaurant is, in fact, a food truck. And this is, a world of difference from a sit-down type of restaurant. I'm dying to know what kind of equipment you needed to get your barbecue show on the road.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because I think I definitely am the only guy that has a food truck that has a smoker on the food truck, and I actually do smoke at events, and, you know, it's pretty cool. I've actually designed the whole entire inside of the kitchen from the ground up. I bought an old food truck, ripped everything out of it, put a brand new state-of-the-art kitchen inside it, along with a state-of-the-art smoker.
The smoker, it looks like a little refrigerator.
Yeah, I can smoke about 200 pounds of meat at a time.
Wow.
Which is a pretty good amount to get started with. So, you know, I have that on the food truck. That is super cool for me. And then, yeah, you're right. I mean, not only am I a kitchen on wheels, but I can come to you and cook some pretty cool barbecue with a Latin twist to it for sure.
So why did you decide to go with the idea of a food truck? I mean, especially if you got to invent stuff from scratch, as it sounds like you did. Is there something about barbecue that just makes it a really great street food?
You know, really the reason why I started the whole food truck is I wanted to get out on my own. I had been working in, you know, some of the nicest restaurants in Vegas, in a casino pretty much my whole entire life, and really want to be outside of the city. And there's so many spectacular things that are going on in our community right now with food, and I think I should be involved in that. So there's not a better way to grab a truck that I can go around the city and be a part of everything. And you know, at the end of the day, it's a way to hopefully have a brick and mortar one day and be like, you know, Rolling Smoke Barbecue, where mm-hmm. people can come to my restaurant and you know, I can cook in a nice big facility kitchen and not on a super hot food truck with no air conditioning. But you got to start somewhere, and that's where I chose to start.
But you decided not to serve like lunches, sit-down lunches. You do catering.
I do catering, and then I do special events, and that's kind of where the truck is right now. You know, I don't have a route that I'm doing. Barbecue takes a long time. It's not something that you can call me and go, hey, Mike, I want you there tomorrow. I've got this thing I want you to do. It doesn't work like that for me. You know, I've got to plan out how I'm going to produce the food and how I'm going to serve it, and it takes a little while.
Is doing this with a food truck as your primary kind of outreach, is that a tough go?
Oh, man, I'm crazy. I don't know what the heck I was thinking. Number one, a food truck, okay? Number two, doing barbecue on a food truck. And number three, being a 40-year-old man trying to do this in a young man's game is absolutely crazy.
And yet, here we are.
And all my friends told me that I was crazy. And you know what? I am, but I love it. I have life running through all of my veins. I've got barbecue on my mind. I'm meeting super cool people. I'm out in my community. You know, I went to Bonanza High School right next door to us here. I'm from Vegas. I've been here for over 30 years, and so it just made a lot of sense. Mike Miner on the road in a food truck downtown, hanging out at farmers markets at First Friday, you know, downtown Wednesdays, whatever the event is that helps the community. That's how I thought I could make the biggest impact.
Tim Hansen, surely amateurs, such as someone looks roughly like me, let's say, would come up to you from time to time and go, I can't get it to come out the way I want it to. What kinds of tips do you give to people who love barbecue, who'd like to do a little bit of it on the backyard grill, but haven't mastered it yet?
Okay, there's two types of grilling or barbecuing. You have smoking, and then you're going to have, which is an indirect heat. Then you're going to have grilling where you have direct heat. Now, it's on the type of meat that you're going to use. Might suggest what type of barbecue you're going to do. If you're going to do something like a quick steak, you probably want to put that on some direct heat, hot coals with a grill. You know, lay that down there, let it sit for 15 minutes, flip it over, maybe hit it another 5-10 minutes, depending on the cut, the size of the meat. That's what I'm going to do, because that's going to be like a 2-inch steak right there. But if you're going to do like carne asada or some strip steaks, you know, that's good too on a hot grill, lay that on there. But if you're going to cook a brisket or pork butt or something, put your grills on one side of the pit, then put your meat on the other side. That's a quick smoker right there. So you're going to have that meat smoking, and get your grill at about 250. That's what Rolling Smoke cooks on, about 225, 250. And we cook our brisket for about 16 to 18 hours. It depends on the size. We're going to do our pork butts about 14. But if you do it commercially, you're looking at maybe 6-7 hours for both of those pieces of meat, because it won't be that big.
Al Mancini?
Yeah, if I may get a plug in here also. Yeah. First of all of those are great tips, but if you go to Vegas 7's website, I spoke with Chef Brian Forgione about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he gave basic tips for the backyard smoker. If you want to start smoking your own meats, and he runs down, you know, everything from what fuels you should use, what types of meat, how long they will be, what types of preps he recommends, temperatures, etc. So you can find that on Vegas 7's website.
Again, give us a little time at KMPR News. vegas7news.org, and we'll have links to the Vegas 7 advice as well. Tim Hansen, we were talking a little earlier about that ongoing debate between using a sauce and using a rub to flavor meat. What are the advantages of both?
A rub is going to keep your meat, it's going to keep the grill cleaner. A rub. If you use liquid, it's going to, and if you got sugar in that base, it's going, when you put it on a grill, it's going to crystallize onto the grill, which is going to cause a burning smell. So now you're going to get a burnt smell into your meat, especially if you're cooking it. So you really don't want to use that wet. Well, some people do. We use a dry rub. We know it's going to keep our pits a little bit cleaner. We also know that the flavor is going to be infused in it from the peppers and the salts and, you know, the paprikas, the things that we use in that meat. We know it's going to be infused in it. And with a liquid, unless you're injecting it, it's pretty much going to roll right off the meat. You know, so it's not good, unless you marinate it. That's better. Like, if you're going to marinate the meat in the juices, then that's going to enhance the flavors before you put it on the grill.
So, Mike Miner, what can a cook do to make a good rub at home? What are some of the standard ingredients that should go into a good rub?
Well, the standard, you know, the ingredients are pretty secret. I can't tell you, but I can tell you that if you want to make a rub, just go grab some of your favorite spices, put them in a bowl, mix them together, and taste them. And add a little here and take a little out and add it until you like what you're doing.
It's experimenting.
If I'm doing pork and I want a dry rub, then I want some brown sugar in that dry rub along with some chilies. That way I have a balance of spice and sweetness. It goes great with the fat of the pork. If I'm doing a brisket, in all honesty, I don't use any spice but salt and black pepper. And that is it. And so it really depends on what you're doing. But in all honesty, it's what you like. It's what your flavor is. I've learned one thing about barbecue. And barbecue has many, many different looks to it. And it comes down to what you like and what your preference is. And true good barbecue is really a great tasting, soft, tender piece of meat with the flavor that you're looking for.
It seems to me that one of the big ironies with the whole world of barbecuing is that it started as a way to make cheaper cuts of meat more palatable. And, you know, you slather it in sauce, cook it for a long time. But then we start thinking about other quality cuts of meat. Mm-hmm. Does the quality of the meat matter a lot when you're barbecuing?
It does. But I think most importantly out of it all is how you cook that meat and the preparation of that meat. And the attention to detail, like Al said, of the fire, it has all to do with that. You know, pigs are pigs, you know, and you take a whole pig, and if you cook it right, it's going to be the most amazing whole pig you've ever had. If you take that pig and you don't cook it right, it's going to be the crappiest pig you've ever had. Nobody knows the quality difference of that animal. It's all in how you put your preparations onto that barbecue, and if you know what you're doing, you can make anything taste incredible.
All right, so Al Mancini, what's a simple side dish that a home cook can make to go up with something like barbecue ribs?
Well, I think you always need some mac and cheese.
Right? Love it. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that would definitely be one of my favorite side dishes. What else do you guys tend to serve as side dishes with your barbecue?
At Rolling Smoke, we serve candy yams, mac and cheese, collard greens, kicking baked beans, mama's bacon, potato salad, jalapeno coleslaw, fried green tomatoes, fried pickles, hush puppies, fried okra with a chipotle dip.
That sounds incredible.
And then we're going to wash it down with some homemade banana pudding, some peach cobbler, or some blueberry cobbler.
You guys do some crazy stuff over there, man.
Yeah, they do.
A lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, you know, we talk about what kind of meats you can barbecue, and everybody, you know, always comes back to the basics like brisket or pulled pork or things like that. You guys do meatloaf over there.
Oh, we got a smoked brisket meatloaf. It's the longest cooked meatloaf in the whole wide world. It takes 18 hours to prepare this meatloaf. Because we take the ground beef, the brisket, but we smoke the brisket for 18 hours, so that's why it takes so long. We take that brisket and we add it into the ground beef and make a meatloaf, and it's phenomenal. It's been featured in Seven magazine, Vegas magazine, all over, and it's one
of the
top.
Can you put that in between two slices of bread?
Two slices of bread with mashed potatoes with the Lotus mash on it and the fried onion strings on top, and then you put the sweet Carolina love on top of that, and it's a done deal.
Can you make a sandwich with cornbread? using that?
Oh, man, we got the best cornbread. We got the best cornbread on this side of the Mississippi.
Now, earlier this morning, you were listening to us. I warned you, don't listen to this show on an empty stomach. Because here we are. You know, look what happens. Tim Hansen is the chef of Roland Smoke Barbecue. Mike Miner is the chef and owner of Truck Q Barbecue. You will also see him on the cover of this month's issue of Desert Companion. And Al Mancini is a food critic and food writer for Seven Magazine. Gentlemen, it's been great fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thank you.
Always a pleasure.